Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 45 and 46. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 45 and 46.
Then David said to the Philistine, "You come with me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcass of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel."
Amen. Hallelujah. Last week, how many of you remember last Friday's message? How many? Going forward in the day of? I can't hear you. Going forward in the day of battle. Amen. Tonight, if you are going to give a title for this message, you can say, Worshipping in the Day of Battle. Worshipping the Lord in the Day of Battle. How do you recognize whether you are in a spiritual battle? Do you feel as if life is kind of squeezed out from you? Do you feel as if there is no more life, in your marriage? How many of you know that the devil is real? And that Jesus has given us a real victory on the cross of Calvary? Amen. In your personal lives, you will never be able to win the battle until you are able to discern your enemy. So how do you discern whether you are in a spiritual battle? Sometimes people come to me and say, "Pastor, I feel as if I am losing my mind." You can never win unless you discern that that's a battle, that is an enemy. It is said that if you recognize a problem in your heart, you can prevent yourself from a heart attack. The same way, if you recognize a spiritual battle, you can prevent and have victory in your life. You are in a spiritual battle, number one, if you have a loss of spiritual desire. You just want to quit. You don't want to go out. You don't want to go on. There is absolutely no motivation, no drive to go forward. You think everything is over. There is no desire for the word. There is no desire to worship the Lord. There is no desire to call on the name of the Lord. No desire for spiritual things. In Psalms 1, it says, "Blessed is the man who delights in the law of the Lord." Are you with me? There is no more delight. In Psalms 42, David said, "As a deer panteth for the waters, so my soul is desiring for you and longing for you." So there is no more desire to come after God, to follow after Jesus. It means most of the time you are in a battlefield. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, Peter says, "Like newborn babies, desire earnestly the pure spiritual milk, which is the word of God." So there is no more desire for God's word. You miss church, no more desire to come to church. You miss church, it doesn't bother you. It's a sign. I'm not speaking about missing on a Friday or on a Sunday once, you know. I'm not saying about that. I'm speaking about you continuously miss, and you think it's okay. Now, we're not going to follow the Lord out of excitement all the time. Definitely discipline sets in, has to set in at some time in your life. But moreover, when there is over a long period of time, when there is no more appetite for spiritual things, it is a sign that you are in a spiritual battle. But tonight we have the victory of the Lord, and I believe tonight it will be a night of victory, where during the breaking of the Lord's bread, you're going to find the presence of God descend upon you and release you supernaturally from some of the battles that you've been facing in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Number two, there is no more, you have a kind of physical or emotional, you are physically or emotionally exhausted. You're just plain tired. Your strength is sapped away. There's no more strength. You just get along. Are you with me? Just living for the day. In Daniel, the 7th chapter and verse 25, it says, one of the tricks of the Antichrist, of the devil, is to wear the saints of God out, to tire you down. One of the tricks of the devil is to tire you down. You remember the man of God in the Old Testament called Elijah. Elijah was so tired. He just slept. He was so sapped out of strength, so discouraged. He just lay there having no more emotional or physical strength to go on. You're most vulnerable after a great victory. You have something great happen in your life. You're very vulnerable. Elijah had the greatest victory on Mount Carmel. The next thing, he's out there under a juniper tree wishing he was dead, totally discouraged, depressed, exhausted, not wanting to go on. An angel of God comes down, cooks food for him. Can you imagine an angel coming down and cooking food for him? And the Bible says he ate the food and he went back to sleep. Can you imagine that an angel coming down, giving you food, you eat the food and you're going back to sleep? Can you imagine that kind of exhaustion? You see an angel, that's enough for revival for some of us. Praise the Lord. Are you with me tonight? Here he sees an angel. Angel even cooks him a food. He eats the food and he goes back to sleep. And there's no more desire. He's totally tired, worn out. But look at the love of God. Look at the mercy of God. Even though he sapped out, the angel persists with him and says, come on, Elijah, get up and run. You still got a race to complete. You still got ministry to do. For some of you who are discouraged, God is saying, there are still better things for you to do. Your best days are still ahead. You need to get up and run again for Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When I don't eat right, I try to manage a proper diet, especially in the last couple of years, or 3-4 years, I've been trying to do that. But I know that when I'm totally exhausted or drained out, I eat crazy. You want to eat the wrong stuff, you just want to eat anything that you get. Everything that is sugary, everything that is colorful, everything that is fried, everything that is oily, everything that the doctors say is kind of harmful to your health, you want to eat it. Oh boy, I really know that I'm stressed out. I really need to get on my knees and say, Lord, revive me again. Strengthen me, Lord. Praise the Lord. Some of you, even for your physical strength, God is wanting you to make sure that your diet are completely correct. Are you with me? Don't eat all the time all the junk food, hallelujah, and say God will supernaturally heal you. Take care of your body. Take care of the food that you eat. Definitely God will supernaturally heal, but people who are responsible about their lives. Amen. The third one is what is called a lack attack. A lack attack. You are under a spiritual battle when all your resources keep drying up all at once. Are you with me? Every resource that you have is totally dried up. How many of you know when the bills come, you can't rebuke the bill? Yeshua namati, kalahandal kara. The telephone bill has come. Judah haptal kara garabuba. Yeshua namati, bendanamari. You can't say that. Are you with me? You need to pay it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you know that you can't write a check when there is no money in your account and give it to somebody and say faith? I never glorify the devil. Are you with me? Tonight, it is just for you to discern properly in your life. It is not for you to see a demon behind everything. It's not for you to see a devil behind everything. But tonight's message is about the victory of Jesus Christ coming and breaking every power of the enemy that is battle against your mind, against your life in the years past. The things that has been harassing you and vexing your soul to be broken off tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. When there is a lack attack, your car breaks down, your AC breaks down, your husband breaks down, you got, and all together, everything goes wrong. I've been in the ministry for 20 years to recognize a spiritual attack. There's so much of lack that you're actually really wondering, where's your next money going to come from? You're no longer looking to God, you're looking at, oh my God, this business deal, how? Praise the Lord. Some of you are sitting there, here, hallelujah, going through that. Let me tell you, hallelujah, if God, hallelujah, see you, that's why he's sending this message to you tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. I speak supernatural provision in every area of your life. Praise the Lord. If you've been attacked from all sides and every kind of resources has dried up and you feel kind of squeezed out, let me tell you, hallelujah, hang in there, praise the Lord. Look to Jesus Christ, worship the name of the living God, the God of David who gave him victory over Goliath is going to give you victory in every battle in your life. Amen. There seems to be the fourth one is an attack on your prayer life. How many of you know that prayer is not a gift? Sometimes we look at somebody who's praying and saying, oh pastor, I don't have that gift. You study the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, the Bible never mentions anywhere that prayer is a gift. Prayer is a discipline. It is as hard for me as it is hard for you. Are you with me? You're not going to get up one day and say, wow, looks like there's an anointing on my life to pray. It doesn't happen that way. You're going to get up in the morning and say, oh my God, I got to pray. Oh, help me, Holy Spirit. Rubana, Handas, Kemoro. Lord, please, Rubana, which song do I sing? Where is my songbook? Praise the Lord, hallelujah. Where is my Bible? You scratch your head, you look around, praise the Lord, hallelujah. You drink your cup of coffee. You wonder, should I later or now? You go through the challenges, praise the Lord. And then finally you go down, kneel down and say, Lord, help me. And you begin to pray because prayer is a discipline. Praise the Lord. If any of you have got prayer as a gift from God, please tell me. Praise the Lord. I want you to lay hands upon me and pray because I have never got it. Praise the Lord. It is a challenge. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. In Matthew 26, 39 to 41, Jesus told the disciples, can't you watch with me for 1 hour and pray? Pray that you might not fall into temptation. Pray that you might not fall into temptation. When you don't pray, you handle everything in the flesh. You react to everything that is happening in your life. You get angry. You badmouth people. Why? Like Peter, when he didn't pray, he began to handle things in the flesh. When the moment of temptation came, when the soldiers came to capture Jesus Christ, he actually took a sword and cut off the ear. He began, other disciples ran away. One of the Bible versions says, he began to curse and became angry. You begin to get angry. You begin to lose your cool. You begin to, say all the wrong stuff when you don't pray. Oh, come on. Come on. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Lift your hand and say, Lord, hallelujah. Tonight I'm taking a decision to pray. Hallelujah. Give me the grace to pray. Hallelujah. Break off every shackles in my life. Hallelujah. That stops me from praying in the name of Jesus. Let that break off from your life. Amen. The fifth thing that you recognize a battle is you always feel kind of overwhelmed. In other words, you're encircled by problems. You have so much everywhere, everything around, you're encircled by problems. It looks like there is no way out. Or you begin to think, what's the use? Are you with me? You're overwhelmed. Everything is falling apart. Nothing makes sense. It looks like, you know, and sometimes you look and there seems to be light at the end of the tunnel and you look and look and you hope something nice is going to happen and it's a running frame. Number six, you are in a battle when your old iniquities begin to surface again. Your old life. Maybe you were addicted to nicotine, alcohol, pornography, immorality, name it. Things that you gave up when you came to Jesus, you feel as if you want to go back to them. Are you with me? One of the easiest and the simplest way to discern an enemy is he will always say thank you with your favorite old time sins. Matthew 12, verse 43. Jesus said, when a demon has left somebody, it goes around looking for a place to dwell in. When it can't find a place, it comes back to the person, but comes back seven times stronger. It comes back with seven more demons. If you were the biggest skeptic, the most critical person before you came to Jesus, and you gave up that and an attitude of joy and began to cultivate the attitude of joy and begin to worship the Lord and go forward in faith, and you turn back and go back to unbelief, you become seven times more worse. It's not a good thing to hear. We wish it isn't true, but that's the way it is. And so tonight we need to say, Lord, give me victory over all kind of old habits. Let the power of the iniquities be broken off in the name of Jesus Christ tonight by the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. The seventh one. You will begin to pull away from all kinds of godly relationship. You will begin to pull away from all kinds of godly relationship. You are more comfortable with the people of the world than with church people. And the truth is, you are not living right. The simple truth. You want to hide. So you begin to say, in my whole life, at least I had good friends who would stand by me. I have no one in the church. You look for enjoyment among friends who are not in the Lord. They are more comfortable. I'm not saying that you can't have friends outside. You can't be a church furniture. Are you with me? Be in the church all the time. That's not what I'm saying. You can. There's a balance. You should have fun and entertainment in life. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you have to run to shop or go from one holiday to the other, or when you got to just spend more time with your friends in club, it means you are finding more excitement there than in the presence of God, and that is dangerous. That means you are under an attack. You kind of feel energized only when you shop. Or when you actually, bet for the races. Sometimes you go to Bangalore or Bombay, people are begging for the raises. You only feel good when they do that. Or you feel kind of energized or happy only when you put that old song. You know, my brother gifted me a nice sound system. So I was having that at home and suddenly, you know, old Hindi songs, upper songs and all that, boom, boom, coming up on that. I said, sitting and enjoying them. Yeh dil hai mushkil jeena. I said, my God, I better snap out of it. What is happening? What's happening? You begin to say, when you are in the world, you have at least some sincere friends. But nobody in the church, it means you have a selective memory. There was nothing there. That is why you came to Jesus in the first place. Are you with me? There is nothing, absolutely nothing there. That is why you came to Jesus in the first place. Therefore, don't look back at your old life. Jesus is the best thing, hallelujah, that can happen to anyone. Lift your hands and thank Jesus tonight. Open your mouth and say, Jesus is the best thing that can happen in my life. Jesus Christ is the best thing that can happen in my life. Praise the Lord. Don't say no to godly relationship. Cultivate it. Look at your brother, your sister. You need them. How do you fix it when you are in a battle? How do you fix it? Remember, you are made to outlast every storm that comes in your life. I'm repeating that. Remember, you are made to outlast every storm that comes in your life. Matthew chapter 7, 24 to 28. Jesus spoke about the foolish and the wise. He said the foolish man built his house on the sand. The wise man built his house on the rock. Are you with me? The storm came. The rains came. The floods came. The storm came. The foolish man thought he would never have any storm in his life. That's why he built on the sand. The foolish man thought, there is never going to be any storm in my life. The wise man knew in this life, you will have temptations, you will have storms, you will have challenges, you will have battle. But God has made you or created you to outlast every storm that comes in your life. You have the spirit of a conqueror. Praise the Lord. You have the anointing of an overcomer. You can win over every situation in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Lift your hands and thank Him tonight. Worship Him tonight. You were created by God to outlast every storm. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Every storm. Sometimes we look at our lives and you think you are the only guys why am I only going through a storm? Pastor, why is it that I am the only one who's got a problem? Who said you are the only one who's got a problem? I was, tempted to preach another message tonight, actually. And the Spirit of God asked me to share this word. It was on Acts 3. That man who was carried to the gate called Beautiful and placed there. You remember that story in Acts chapter 3? Man who was paralyzed from his birth was carried and laying at the gate called Beautiful. Can you imagine that? How many of you thank people for carrying you? In your life, amidst your addiction, amidst your challenges, amidst your backsliding, there have been people who have carried you in prayer, in faith, who have ministered to you, who have stood in the gap for you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Even when things were not going right, there were people who carried you. I mean, if you appreciate those people and thank the Lord for them and pray for them. Amen. People used to carry this guy and lay him at the gate called Beautiful. It's a gate, not a door. Are you with me? He's paralyzed. He's laid at the gate called Beautiful. And he can see through that gate everything beautiful happening for people inside. But he's lame. Can you imagine that? See, if it's a door, it is okay. I don't know what's happening inside. That's fine. But if it's a gate, I'm lying there in a miserable condition. And everybody's having a beautiful family life. Everybody's having beautiful health, beautiful children, beautiful job, beautiful ministry. Everything is beautiful. But I am sitting here. God is saying to you, don't have a fatalistic outlook in life. Praise the Lord. Your miracle is going to come. Appreciate the people who carried you. Praise the Lord. Peter and John came and said, look at us. Look at us. We are normal people like you. We too have challenges in life. We too have gone through storms. We too have hurt the Lord and denied Him at many times. We too have tried to walk on water and we too have sung. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But Jesus has raised up. Hallelujah. And continued to work with us. So if you look at us, we are normal and ordinary people like you. There is nothing about it that is spectacular. We have the same challenges you have. Look at us. The God who worked a miracle upon us can work a miracle upon you. Praise the Lord. And that man got up. He began to leap and praise and run into the temple and worship the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't have a fatalistic outlook. You were created to outlast the storm. Praise the Lord. Look at your biggest storm. Look at the Goliath in front of you and say, I'm going to outlast him. Praise the Lord. My God will work for me. Hallelujah. I have men of God praying for me. I have servants of God praying for me. I have believers praying for me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory unto the name of Jesus Christ. We're going to outlast every storm in the name of Jesus Christ because we have built on the foundation that is the rock, that is Jesus Christ our Lord. You will outlast every storm in your life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. How do you fix it? Number two, don't forsake the power of partnership. Don't forsake the power of partnership. Ecclesiastes 4 says, if one has fallen, the other will help him. If one is cold, the other can keep him warm. You need godly relationships. Don't break it. There is a tree in California, redwood. It grows about 300 feet in the air, but only goes down about 3 feet. The root only goes down about 3 feet, but this tree will go up almost 300 feet in the air, but the root only goes down 3 feet. When a storm comes, when the wind comes, how is this tree going to stand? You know, the palm tree, you've seen the palm tree in Kerala, when the winds come, when the storm comes, the palm tree will go like that, will sway and come back again straight. Why? Because it's got a strong root system. It goes really rooted down. So even when the storm comes, it will go like that, it won't break apart, it will come back again. But this redwood tree goes about 300 feet, but the roots go only 3 feet down. And a ranger did a research on that and he found out that it's because the root of this tree, after it goes 3 feet down, it spreads and connects with other root of other redwood trees. So each redwood tree is hooked on to another redwood tree, the root. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So when the wind comes, when the storm comes, it has to bring the entire forest down, otherwise all these trees are going to stand. Oh, come on, church. Come on, church. If the wind comes, the wind has to fight the whole forest. Can you imagine that? Because of godly relationship, the trees are connected. The trees, the roots are connected. Only 3 feet down, you might not have spiritual depth, but if you know the importance of godly relationship, and if you can value another brother and sister and love them and forgive them and bless them, let me tell you, you're going to be rooted. No matter what kind of storm comes, you're going to outlast that storm. You're going to stand tall for the name of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And something that the ranger said was quite amazing for me. You know what that ranger said? It actually made me cry. The ranger, looking through that forest of redwood trees, found out there were even certain trees that were dead, but who hadn't fallen down because the other trees were not willing to let it go. Praise the Lord. There were even certain trees that were dead, but he hadn't fallen down because the other trees wouldn't let it go. They had hope. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, my brother, my sister, if you are somebody who has only got a small root, more the more important that you be connected with somebody else in the Lord. Be faithful to one another. Be committed. Be loyal. Hallelujah. Love one another. Forgive one another. Be tender-hearted to one another, because we're going to win the victory together in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now let's come back to the text. 1 Samuel chapter 17. The battle that David is facing. And that's the third point. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 1. Please read it. 1 Samuel 17, 1.
Now the Philistines gathered the armies together to battle, and were gathered at Soho, which belongs to Judah. They encamped between Soho and Azekah in Ephes-Damin. And Saul and the men of...
look at where the battle is positioned. Where this battle took place. The Philistine army with Goliath, the champion, was standing in the place that belonged to Judah. Judah means praise. God had given Judah as an inheritance that land. It is a part of Israel. Judah means praise. Say that with me. Judah means? Amen. I don't know why or how the Philistine took that place. When the Philistine decided to attack Israel, the first point that it took was the land that belonged to Judah. Praise. It stood there. There are battle strategies. When an army goes to attack another army, they strategize. The strategy of the Philistines was, if we got to win this battle, we got to first take the land that belongs to Judah. In other words, the Philistine army of Goliath knew, if you can stop them from worshipping the Lord and praising the Lord, you can take every other part of their life. Are you with me? Are you with me? If you can stop them from praising the Lord and worshipping Him, you can take control over every other part of their lives. So when you take control over your life, first area that you got to take control over is in the area of worship. Because if the devil or Goliath is standing in the place of your worship, and has destroyed your worship, then what happens? The Israeli army had no confidence. They had no faith. They had no boldness. Are you with me? Goliath was coming and threatening them. Send us a man. Let's see who's going to win this battle. Come on. അവൻ യുദ്ധത്തിന്റെ അകത്ത് വലിയ വാക്കുകൾ പറഞ്ഞുകൊണ്ടിരിക്കും. അവൻ പറയാ, ബാബാ ധൈര്യമുള്ള മാടാ, നീയൊക്കെ മുന്നോട്ട് പോകുന്ന കാണട്ടെ, ബാ പ്രാർത്ഥന ഉപവാസം ഓ ചേർച്ച ബൈബിള് കാണാ, നോക്കട്ടെ നിന്റെ വീട്ടിൽ പ്രശ്നം ഉണ്ടാക്കാൻ നിന്ന് നോക്കട്ടെ, ബാ മുന്നോട്ട് കാല വെച്ച് വാ. How many of you know that praise and worship is sometimes a warfare? Which is easy? Is it easy to pray or is it easy to praise the Lord? Everyone has got troubles in their lives. Anybody without troubles in their lives? I remember years back we were having a prayer meeting at my house, years back. And you know, all of us are laughing in the spirit. The joy of the Lord hit that place. Everybody's falling down and worshiping and, you know, laughing in the spirit. And there was one uncle who was standing there. He stood there for some time like this. Then he turned around and left. While he was going out, he said, Nyangal ibda vannad uttiri problem aayita. Problem illatha kore per chuma chirichondirikkuka prarthana. Problem illatha aarellu undo? Is there anybody here? You don't have any trouble? All of us have. Are you with me? Every one of us have. But amidst the trouble, praise the Lord. What will you do? Will you praise the Lord? What will you do? Which is easy. Praise requires an attitude of faith, actually. Imagine, let's take one example. You have money trouble. You're really broke. Which is easy? Which is the easy thing to do? Is it easier to pray or is it easy to praise? No. You will actually pray. What will you do? If you really got a money problem, you really empty in your pocket, you come here, you're gonna either come and say, Pastor, please pray. Or you also, if you're going to pray, you'll only pray. You want praise. Are you with me? If you got a health problem, chances are that you will pray. But you won't praise. Judah will stay back. Are you with me? The enemy would hold on to Judah, the land of Judah, and say, No. Do everything else other than you pray. Put on your weapons, Ephesians 6, 10 to 20, the army is standing there, but they have no confidence to take on Goliath. I don't know how Goliath took over that land. But you gotta say, I don't know whether he took it gradually, or maybe they didn't treasure that praise, or Judah, the land, they didn't treasure it much. So, ഇടതാലും കുഴപ്പമില്ല എന്നാണ് വിചാരിച്ചോ. ഓ, കർത്താവ് ഇന്നിപ്പോ ദിവസം സൂചിച്ചില്ലെങ്കിൽ എന്താ കുഴപ്പം? I've seen that. തഴമ്പിച്ച വിശ്വാസം ഒരിക്കലും ശ്രദ്ധിക്കുകയല്ല. അവർ പറയും, ആ സംബന്ധിച്ച് കഴിഞ്ഞ് പാസ്റ്റർ മെസ്സേജ് കൊടുക്കാറാ പറഞ്ഞോളെന്ന് കേട്ടോളാം. അതിനിടയ്ക്ക് വിളിക്കാനായി കൈയൊക്കെ അടിപ്പിക്കുകയും കൈയൊക്കെ പൂക്കിക്കുകയും ഒക്കെ ചെയ്യാം, അതൊക്കെ ചെയ്തോളാം. No. Whether gradually or deceitfully, however Goliath took that land, you should say, I won't allow Judah to be taken. Are you with me? You should say, I won't allow Judah to be taken. Praise the Lord. Amen. He will first take Judah. Then only he will touch your marriage, your children, your business and everything else. He knows if he can stop you from praising, he can touch your destiny tomorrow. He can touch your health tomorrow. He can threaten you tomorrow. He can intimidate you tomorrow. You can have this thought, I won't have any victory. I will, even if I have victory, I will lose again. The devil is a liar. I say that again. The devil is a liar. There is a place in God's word where Christ Jesus will allow you to walk in perpetual victory. Praise the Lord. The habitual sins that you have, the strongholds will be broken off. And you can walk in perpetual victory in the name of Jesus Christ. And who came against Goliath? The only person who came against Goliath was from Judah. His name was David. Praise the Lord. And look at David. He's the one, somebody who will worship the Lord no matter what. Even his wife despised the fact that he used to sing and dance before the Lord. Praise the Lord. But David was a worshiper. Praise the Lord. Amen. even as a child, praise the Lord, even before he got married, even after he got married, praise the Lord, he was a worshiper. He used to spend time in the wilderness, praise the Lord, praise the singing of songs and psalms and just lifting up the name of the Lord and glorifying him and singing to the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. While everybody else was meditating on the words of Goliath, David was meditating on the promise of God. Praise the Lord. How many of you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes your mind can get so occupied with what the doctor has said, what the lawyers have said, what somebody has said. Your mind can get so occupied, you can meditate on that and think about that all the time and lose your joy. Or you can meditate on the promise of God and say, hallelujah, no matter even if a Goliath stands in front of me, I will have victory in the name of the Lord. Sometimes people say, Pastor, I've tried everything to have victory in my life, but this Goliath keeps standing in front of me, challenging me. I've even tried brutal prayers. You know what brutal prayers is? Our son, the Kai Pratanya. Oh, come on, I get to roast me out of the nail. Angan the Pratanya, you go into the pit of depression, you have a 21 day fast, you have all night vigil, and you pray, and you say, I'm going to break this habit, I'm going to win this battle, I'm going to, hallelujah. Like a Pratanya, brutal, I take a Pratanya. അന്നിട്ടൊന്നും കാര്യം നടക്കാതെ വരുമ്പോ തന്നെ ഒരുമാതിരി ഡിപ്രഷൻ അടിച്ച് പിന്നെ അടുത്ത 80 ദിവസത്തിന് ചേർച്ചി കാണിയാ. Instead of crying, David prays the Lord. He knew if he had to bring God to that place, he was going to be a worshipper. He said, you come to me with a sword, with a javelin and with a spear, but you have defied the armies of the living God. Hallelujah. I come to you in the name of my God. എന്റെ ദൈവത്തിന്റെ നാമത്തിൽ ഞാൻ വരുന്നു. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. എന്റെ ദൈവത്തിന്റെ നാമത്തിൽ ഞാൻ വരുന്നു. നീ എന്ത് തടസ്സമിട്ട് മുന്നോട്ട് പോകാൻ എന്നെ അനുവദിക്കരുതെന്ന് പറഞ്ഞാലും. Hallelujah. I come to you in the name of my God. എന്റെ ദൈവത്തിന്റെ വാക്കിലും. Praise the Lord. നാമത്തിൽ ഞാൻ വരുന്നു. I come to you in the name of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I don't know what Goliath has told you. Goliath parnu nende ninni kochundallo jeevikkiyala. Goliath parnu ninni desha njan keerittu kaake karinju kodukku. Can you imagine that? You go to a doctor and sometimes he looks at all the reports and he might be saying a fact. He says, "Nyorikkilu nadakkiyala ta." കൊച്ചിന് ഈ പ്രോബ്ലം മാറിയല്ല കേട്ടോ. Your blood sugar won't come to normal, okay? The devil would have said that. Praise the Lord. But devil is not the one who dictates over your life. The God of this Bible, the name of the Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the one who's got authority over your body. He's the one who's got authority over your marriage. He's the one who's got authority over this church. It is the name of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Amen. You might have said you won't have a future. Chellaralle ni jeevitham undonnu thonnilla pastor ellam theernu kallava. Are you with me? It's a lie of the devil. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's not over till the Lord says it is over. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. He came with worship. He came with the promise of God. He came looking to the Lord. Number one. See, when you are in a battle, your age doesn't matter. David was very young. When you are in a battle, your experience doesn't matter. When you are in a battle, your weapons doesn't matter. When you are in a battle, even your enemy doesn't matter. Praise the Lord. With praise and with worship, we bring our God Lord into the battle. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. With praise and worship, we bring God into the battle. Praise the Lord. Tonight's message is on going forward in worship, even in the times of battle. Hallelujah. Let not the enemy, hallelujah, take your Judah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Tonight I want you to close your eyes, lift up your voice and praise God for some time before we partake of the Lord's table. I want you to use the power of your imagination, your mind. I want you to, imagine, I want you to see the Goliath that you've been facing. It might be hereditary disease. It might be cancer. It might be bondage. It might be a doctor's report. It might be a financial bondage. It might be anything. See the Goliath that is standing in front of your eyes. Praise the Lord. It might be an addictive habit. See the Goliath in front of your eyes with your eyes closed, with your imagination. Tonight, I want you to bring God into that situation with your praise. Come on, church. Why are you looking at me? Close your eyes. Look to the Lord in faith. You, with your imagination. What is the battle that you've been facing? What is that huge Goliath that you've been facing?
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Thank
is it that the devil has said that you won't have children? Is it, hallelujah, that your children won't be healthy? Praise the Lord. What is it? What is it that the devil has said? God didn't say that. God didn't say that. The last word belongs to the Bible. It belongs to God. See in your imagination.
Hallelujah.
In your imagination, see.
Thank you, Jesus.
See the Goliath fall down. Lift up with praise the name of your God. El Elyon. El Shaddai. The Lord God Almighty. The name of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Call him up our Father. Look at the name of the Lord destroying the powers of the enemy. Praise him. Praise him. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Baranda Shepherd, Aranda.